Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
The following of God is not good in America. The obedience to God is not good in America. And we read this book over and over. One good lesson you can get from the Old Testament: a nation does not follow God, the nation will fall and encounter lots of hardships. And America is on the precipice of that right now. So these three guys tried desperately to get the king not to burn the scroll. That's why they left it in the other room to begin with. Well, I want to see the scroll for myself. He knew what he was going to do. He had a very hard heart.
Yeah.
But the king commanded Jehurmeel, the son of Hammelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shemaniah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. Those men had given them very wise counsel to Barak. Go hide yourself, buddy. Get out of Dodge. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After that, the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write it in all the former words that were in the first roll. I bet they wish they had a Xerox machine back then.
Right?
Yeah. But Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. God, in his amazing mercy, going to give them another shot at it? Yes. And this is not just the second shot. This is 23 years worth of, okay, today, let's try again, Jeremiah. Go and try to turn their hearts again. Next month, go try again. Countless. Why Jeremiah is so weary. And thou shalt say, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. Wow. He himself. There are other lines within Judah. God has promised that line of David, line of Judah will always sit on the throne. But therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you personally, your sons will not sit on the throne. He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David. And his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch, the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and there were added besides unto them many like words. So God not only had the scroll rewritten, he had some addendums put in there. The addendums are, what is going to happen to you, king, and your sons? Now, that should have lifted some eyebrows.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a sad thing. This book is choreographed. It was meant to happen this way, but there was still free will, and it's a mind-boggling concept to understand. You have free will, yet you're in a choreographed play. But yet you have free will, because that is the will that you would have chosen. That's why the play was choreographed that way. Well, that doesn't seem like free will to me, but it is, because God is outside time. God has it already in sight. Everything, every thought, every decision you were going to make with your free will was written down. Like when John was shown Revelation, that means you and I were already dead, because God had fast-forwarded to that time, shown John everything that happened there. That means all of us had lived our lives and made all of our choices, and God knew what they were. With our own free will, we made them. I hope that kind of clarifies a little bit, because I have gone in circles on that in times past. Free will, no free will. Yes, free will, yes, because God already knows the outcome of your free will. He already knew the outcome of this king's free will. Chapter 37, Book of Jeremiah. King Zedekiah, the son of Joash, resigned instead of Corniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he, nor his servants, nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Now understand that Israel and Judah had been under stewardship of Nebuchadnezzar for a while. And as a part of God's punishment, take away their sovereignty, but yet they still had kings on the throne. But the kings did answer to Nebuchadnezzar, and then they had rebelled three times. And that's why eventually Nebuchadnezzar comes down and takes them into Babylon. And in God's mercy, he even said at one time several chapters ago, just allow yourselves to be under the stewardship of Nebuchadnezzar and don't rebel. If you'll do this thing, I will consider it the punishment enough and I will bring revival to the land. Well, they couldn't do it. Their arrogance and pride. Arrogance and pride, Christian, will destroy your relationship with God, will destroy your ability to follow God with all your heart, to be obedient. An arrogant man is obedient to no one. Zedekiah, the king, sent Jehukal, the son of Shemaliah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us.
Help us out here.
Pray for us, please. Oh, my gosh. I'm at Jeremiah, probably said, after 23 years, now you come. Now you want me to pray for you. Well, God has already told me in chapters past, don't even pray for these people anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm done with them. Now, Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for he had not put him into prison. And Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. And came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into it their own land. So, just the act of going to the prophet, this is how far God has gone. And like we said, he said just in chapters past, he said, just keep one Sabbath. Don't even keep the whole Sabbath. Just don't carry anything laborers through the gates of Jerusalem. And I'll turn the country around. They couldn't do it. And then he said, what I told you a second ago, you know. But this time, he says, just because they have come and asked my prophet to pray for them, I'm going to take that as just a minuscule amount of obedience. And Pharaoh's army comes out of Egypt. They're probably on maneuvers, you know, training maneuvers. But Nebuchadnezzar gets wind of it, the approaching army, and then they flee. And we see here it's by God's hand, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. The Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Now, that's like a little teaser there. Look what happened when you just ask the prophet to pray for you. Maybe if you do a little bit more, maybe if you guys start sacrificing properly again, maybe if you actually inquire of me personally, maybe we can turn this thing around. Look what it did. Just that one little request for prayer, a momentary reprieve from the armies outside the gate. Let's see what they do with that. A little bit of information. Verse 9, thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. No, I just sent them away momentarily, just to show you the power of prayer. But they're going to come back, because you're going to go right back to your old ways, Christian. You ever get in a ditch? And all of a sudden you find your prayer life again? You ever do that, Jonathan?
Yeah, there you were.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God, I beseech you to help me out of this ditch.
That's a beseech.
Beseech, yes.
Yes.
The most powerful prayer word there is, beseech.
Right.
Don't wait till you're in the ditch. You can stay in the center of the road with a prayer life. Talk to God. It doesn't have to be on your knees in the evening. Talk to him all day long. Mm-hmm. Just run everything past him. Thank him for the small things. The car started. Oh, thank you, Lord. I say that on the forklift all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah. It doesn't always start when you turn the key.
Right.
Though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. It doesn't matter.
Even if you think you're going to win.
Yes. Yeah. Not happening. Yeah. But do you remember what that one prayer done? Maybe just ponder that for a minute and see where that could take you. Not by your hand, but by mine, says God. It came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, and Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shemaliah, son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." And said Jeremiah, "It is false. I follow not away to the Chaldeans." But he hearkened not to him. So Irijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. So Irijah had been keen looking at those wanted posters. He thinks that Jeremiah is going to sneak over to the Chaldeans, switch sides. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him, put him in prison again in the house of Jonathan, the scribe. That's your great, 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 great grandfather, Jonathan?
I guess so.
Yeah, he had a prison right in his house.
It's terrible.
Must have been a keeper of the law. Keepers of the law had prisons in their houses. For they had made that a prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. And Zedekiah, the king, sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Jeremiah said, "There is." Or said he, "Thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." same word I've been telling you, sire, for 23 years. Yes, there is word from the Lord.
Yeah.
Moreover, Jeremiah said unto the king Zedekiah, "What have I offended thee against thee, or against thy servants, or against this people, that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesies unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land?" Where are all those false prophets at? You know, these 23 years, I've been telling you the truth. They've been lying to you. You've been listening to them. You haven't been listening to me. Now you ask me, is there any word from God? Hoping I've changed the words of God, and I haven't. Only God can change his words. Therefore now, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord the King, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. And Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison. They should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city was spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Poor fellow. But you know, that's also a reoccurring theme. You know, if you stand for God, you will go through tribulation. And Christian, if you stand for God, you will go through tribulation. That rapture school bus is not coming for you. It's so clear in this Bible in multiple locations. That is made up theology, feel good theology. And because of that feel good theology of the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, there's going to be a great falling away. 2 Thessalonians talks about it. A great falling away of the faith. Because when the tribulation comes, these Christians are not ready for it. "Oh, we shouldn't be here, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to be called away in the rapture. Maybe Pastor Bob didn't know what he was talking about. Maybe none of what Pastor Bob said was true."
That's it.
Yes.
It just takes a small seed.
It's sad. But yep. Satan is working in the church. He'd been working in the church since the 3rd century when he took it over.
Mm-hmm.
Where better a place to deceive from. The pulpit of God's church, and I'm using quotation signs. You know, God says about false pastors and prophets, he says, if you dilute or pervert my word and you preach it to the flock, I will treat you as a murderer and a thief. And if you are sitting in the flock hearing this perverted words, I will punish you also, because I have provided you with the word right here. Every home in America has the book multiple times over. Most published manuscript in the history of the world. You have a reference to God's word right there in your hands. You sit and listen to a man babble on about religion, which he knows nothing about the word of God. If you sit under that man, God says, I'll punish you too, because you should have proved it. You should have proven it. Get the book out and read it yourself. Don't expect to get very far in God's kingdom without reading this book. You may get there. It's just faith of heart. You want, but God's kingdom is vast. Do you think you're going to heaven? No, not. Very few Christians are going to heaven. Heaven is God's city that comes down onto the new earth, which is God's kingdom. Multifaceted, multi-levels, depending on what you do for him. Your works of your hand do not equal salvation. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But after you have accepted Christ and his perfect sacrifice, it's up to you to work for the kingdom. So are you going to get across the finish line and get a participation trophy? One of them 3-inch tall ones that said, Bill was here on this day. Are you going to get one of them beautiful golden crowns of life because you are full of the zeal of God? You were doing his work. He didn't put you here to build a kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. It will inhabit a new world here one day. But it's like Christ said, my kingdom is not of this world. The spiritual kingdom that I'm building now. You were put here for a purpose. You were put here to make a choice, a testing time. You're in one of the greatest final exams there ever was. And you got the book right in front of you. All the answers are right here in the book. It's an open book test. How many times are you going to read through to get your answers? Because reading it one time through is not going to give you the answers to the final exam. Read it dozens and dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of times. Devour this book, and God will fill your spirit man with wisdom to take control of this carnal mind, which is totally opposite of what God wants. This mind fights against God. It's full of the seed of the serpent. You have to go back to episode 1 on WBFFradio.com to understand that. Two children in the womb of Eve, the seed of the serpent, the seed of Adam. Well, the seed of the serpent resides in the flesh, in the mind of the flesh. God says, I place the spirit in the heart. It's up to the spirit man to gain control of this flesh. And that is done through moderation. God never said you couldn't have a good time. Never said you couldn't enjoy the wind. In fact, he tells you to enjoy the things of this world in moderation. And if you follow me with all your heart, he says, you'll know what's good for you and what's not. And if you follow me with all your heart, you won't want to do what's not good for you. And you will revel in the things that are good for you. It's all about moderation. And Paul talked a lot about that. In here in the book of Jeremiah today, between the lines with Jonathan and David and WVFF 97.7, coming to you from the beautiful Horseshoe Lake Studios. And we'll catch you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.